provide beautiful, efficient, and price-effective solutions to all of your exterior home improvement needs. Don't forget about that new roof as well. Visit us today at RudderRoofing.com. We will protect your house. And oh yeah, let's go Flyers!
I'm on the verge of a great discovery and... Aha! A 25% off coupon in the JCPenney app.
Oh, I love it when I find those.
Find grand old savings this Columbus Day. Deck the whole family in select denim styles up to 50% off. Plus, get an extra 25% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Find it in the app wallet. Or get a 2.5-liter Cook's air fryer for $24.99 after $20 mail-in rebate. JCPenney. Offers valid 10-10 to 10-14. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Conditions and exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Genuine Philly Sports Talk. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Well, well, well. Welcome into the 97.5 Fanatic Eagles postgame show presented by Prop Swap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Where to begin, Andrew? I think the game and the tone of the game was pretty much set there in the first quarter. Again, just an awful performance by the offense coming out. I think they only had the ball for about 4 minutes in the first quarter, but the Minnesota Vikings decided they were going to pick on what is clearly the weakness of this Eagles team, the secondary. I've been talking about it now for a couple weeks. I think Malcolm Jenkins has returned to reality, and rightfully so. I mean, he's, what, 11, 12 years in the league already? Our cornerbacks, we all know how bad the cornerbacks are, and it's a real liability with this team right now. And I don't know even if one player fixes it. Now, you do have some guys returning very soon. Jalen Mills, Cravion LeBlanc, maybe Ronald Darby, maybe Avante Maddox. We don't know. So there is some help on the horizon. If that help is good enough is the next question. But this secondary is not going to take this team anywhere.
No, and all I heard this week was, and it's not even just from Eagles fans, it was from Eagles players themselves. Zach Brown, they put the quote up during the game. Everybody talked about how, okay, well, the Eagles' run defense is elite, one of the best, if not the best, in the league. So they're going to shut down the run, and they're going to make Kirk Cousins have to beat them. Well, I don't care if it's Kirk Cousins. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers, who they did beat not too long ago. I don't care if it's me or you. The Eagles' secondary is terrible. So a competent NFL quarterback like Kirk Cousins is, I know he's not an above-average quarterback, but he's an average quarterback. He can beat guys like Sidney Jones, who are NFL busts. He can beat guys named Craig James, who then comes in for Sidney Jones, who is that NFL bust and needs to be replaced. He can throw it downfield to Stephon Diggs, who is twice as fast as Rasul Douglas. So all week I heard, well, the Eagles are going to shut down the run. Kirk Cousins has to beat the Eagles. Well, he did.
Yeah, he did, and he's moved to 6-3 all-time versus your Philadelphia Eagles for whatever reason, and I still believe that, yeah, like, when I say he sucks, I mostly kid. He's a mediocre quarterback. Like, he's in that grouping around like 14 through 17 if you decide to rate quarterbacks. Like, he's okay, but he's certainly nothing special. Me and you, Andrew, could have put up 400 yards and 3 touchdowns today. These guys were wide open.
Yes.
This wasn't a Kirk Cousins was, and look, I'm not trying to take away, he had a good day. But it's not like he was putting the ball in little mouse holes and just dissecting you. He had wide receivers that were running wide open, and he led them.
Yeah, and downfield, too. It wasn't like crossing routes or anything confusing. It was just Diggs, go deep. Thielen, go deep. And for some reason, there was no safety help a lot during the game. There was the one play they were talking about, Rodney McLeod just messed up on.
Well, he had to choose between Diggs and Thielen and Diggs there, and he didn't even really see Diggs, and he chose Thielen. And, yeah, Rasul doesn't even have close to enough speed.
So there was no safety help. The corners are just bad in itself. The second half, you saw the pass rush get to Kirk Cousins a little bit more, but if he can extend the play, we saw it with Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers, far better quarterback than Kirk Cousins, but if you can extend the play a little bit against this secondary, you're going to find an open receiver.
Yeah. It's the number one problem with this team. Jalen Mills, most likely, from all that we're hearing, should return next week. It's been, this mysterious cloud. Like, all of a sudden, now down at the NovaCare Complex, you're not allowed to talk about injuries. You're not allowed to give timelines on injuries. So nobody ever knows anything. And like, Jalen Mills the other day was talking to media, and he's going, they were like, well, was it a Liz Frank? He's like, yeah, I don't want to get into that. It's like, what? So hopefully there is some help as they head into Dallas. But let's be frank. I think it's more than fair to now begin to look at and evaluate the offseason that Howie Roseman had. Because I think with Jason Peters leaving the game again, Darren Sproles not being in the game again, now Nelson Agholor getting paid $9.5 million, No more youth safety help coming in. Sendejo, whatever. But Malcolm Jenkins, you had to figure at some point, was going to take a step back. The secondary, frankly, might not just be good enough. They might be misevaluating the talent from the start to the middle to the end all throughout. You know, linebackers, Bradham went out. Like, they've never invested in that position. Derek Barnett looks like he's having an okay year. Certainly not stellar by any means. It's fair to look at Howie Roseman now in the offseason that he had and if he made some big mistakes, because I think he might have.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I think,
and I'm a Howie stan.
I think I need more games to totally evaluate that.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
Six weeks is 6 weeks.
They can very much win the next 2 weeks.
Right, and look, the secondary has been banged up. It's just you have guys named Craig James coming off the street playing for you because you didn't expect that many guys to be hurt this early in the season. So, yeah, I mean, the Howie Roseman conversation is going to end up happening. But right now, I mean, I don't even know if today's the day. Right now, the day is the Eagles secondary was terrible.
Well, Jason Peters is what brought that up. Because a lot of people out there, I was not alone. You know, Trey called me driving home from the pregame show, and he's like, what happened to JP?
Right, going down again, twice.
And I was just like, Trey, it's every week, man. You know, like, I don't even know what it is. He left. They said it's his knee injury. Darren Sproles wasn't there. You know, you look at nobody being able to step up here to help out the team when they need it the most, and that's a depth issue. To me, I kind of saw a depth issue game. That's the only reason I bring it up. I also think it's fair to have your criticisms of Doug Peterson today. I thought going for it at midfield kind of changed the whole course of the game.
Yep.
Because when you give the Vikings the ball at midfield, you're begging for them to take a deep shot on you to pretty much put the foot on the throat and end it, and that's exactly what they did.
And don't even get me started on the fake field goal. Like, that was such a terrible play.
That was dumb.
Play. Like,
there was one option on it.
Yes.
My wife goes, can you... Why is the whole team not moving? Literally, it's one option. The one guy runs out, and they're just expecting for him to be wide open. If he doesn't score a touchdown, it's a completely blown play.
Well, exactly, because I put out the tweet. If he does make the reception and he doesn't score the touchdown or he doesn't get out of bounds, you only have 20 seconds left and no timeouts left.
Yeah.
So you need your special teams unit to clock the ball, because it's not enough time for Carson to run on the field and Jake Elliott to run off the field. So either Jake Elliott or Cam Johnson would have to go under center to spike the ball.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
So all of that is just a dumb decision. And I see people on Twitter going, oh, well, if it worked, you wouldn't be complaining. I still would have questioned it.
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Yeah. But I still would have questioned it. I would have said, Doug, what are you doing here? Just take the 3 points.
I love going for it on fourth down. I think the aggressiveness that Doug typically brings week in and week out is awesome. It's the new. It's the way it should be. It's the new trend in the NFL. And look, you know, people were tweeting me back, well, what difference does it make if they get the ball in the 20 or the 50? The defense couldn't stop anybody. Well, they're not taking a deep shot
there's
there.
Difference.
Yeah, there's a difference. They're probably going to run or do the screen game with Dalvin Cook, and they're not going to kill you over the top. And boom, in one play, that game changed entirely.
Right, and if you want to go for it for when they did the fake field goal, have your best player do it. Have Carson Wentz on the field. Carson Wentz is your best player, and you're going to run a fake field goal with Jake Elliott throwing the ball? Come on.
Yeah, it's a gloomy horizon as you have two road games coming up next. Next week versus Dallas is going to be a huge one. Don't go anywhere. We will bring you the Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz press conferences coming up here on the station. So we've got you covered there. Mick, DJ, Tim, Chris, Eric, Donald, we'll get you guys all up next. Really frustrating one today as the Eagles drop one to the Minnesota Vikings. And yet again, Andrew, they lose another NFC game, which when it comes to, if you're not going to be the division winner and you're getting into wild card territory, I think they're 0-3.
That's three now. Not 0-3.
Well, 1-3.
The Packers.
Yeah, 1-3.
And the Redskins. So it's
out of division I'm talking. So we'll talk about that. But the Eagles have certainly made life difficult for themselves. You're listening to the 97.5 Fanatic postgame show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 4:23. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell any active sports bets. This is cool. You can find out for free the current value of your sports bet right now at PropSwap.com. There are a whole new set of better odds that now only exist at PropSwap. PropSwap offers value for buyers and value for sellers, and you don't have to wait 5 months on a futures wager. You can release your money now. There's a buyer waiting. With PropSwap, you get real control over your own money. It's a futures wagering advantage. If you were late to place your bet and now believe in the team, you've still got time. Go to PropSwap.com. Even during the game, there might be a ticket for sale. It just takes seconds to get back on top, even during the game. And PropSwap loves bulk sellers. For some, it's a great business to make several wagers and then list them on PropSwap. Keep in mind, many bettors can't always make it to the sportsbook when they want, so they find and buy tickets on PropSwap. Go to PropSwap.com today. Welcome back in to the 97.5 Fanatic post-game show. I'm Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Salchunas. The post-game show is presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell active sports wagers. That was a frustrating one today. The game got off to an awful start from the beginning. The offense really couldn't get anything going. They went three straight runs. Does Doug know when everybody's crying for the run game, he didn't have to do it every single play?
Yeah, the second play, Carson did the kill at the line. So yeah, I wonder if there was a decision made by...
I'm just kidding.
No, but still, it's like...
But it's always a weird start to the game.
Well, yeah, we've been going over this for over a year now because it goes back to last season where they can't seem to score in the first quarter. And it comes back to those first 15 scripted plays. And who knows, maybe it's not 15 plays. Maybe Doug Peterson does it his own way. But whatever it is, the first quarter, the Eagles offense just does not look sharp. And it does seem to get better throughout the game. I don't know if Doug Peterson is good at making in-game adjustments, and that's when you start seeing more points put up on the board. But when you're playing games like today, where the opposition goes up big early, you're playing from behind a lot. Like, if you're down 7-3 after the first quarter, or 7-0 after the first quarter, and your offense didn't look great, okay, so what? If you're down 14-0, or if you're down 10-0, you're in trouble, especially when your secondary is as bad as it is.
Yeah, that drive right before the half there, the Eagles had a chance to miraculously somehow go into the half down only 24-17. I thought if they did that, they can win this one easy. The drive stalls there, and more wind just gets taken out of the sails, and it's just absolutely deflating. I felt like the tight end usage was non-existent there for almost a half of football. Zach Ertz had a strange day. Alshon Jeffrey, man, you know, I love him, but he's like a possession receiver. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, the old Alshon in Chicago, he used to go up for diving jump ball, even in his first year here,
the question
in the end zone.
Is his leg still bothering him?
It appears it is.
That could be it.
He's got no juice. Nelson Aguilar's got nothing. How they didn't call the one pass interference, I don't know. The refs were, again, awful. It's not the reason the Eagles lost. But the officiating in the NFL just sucks. I thought Doug P. had a game, if not teetering on bad. And just a lot to be kind of upset about. What's got you most irritated outside the secondary play? Because I think that is the story of the game.
That's number one.
I think that's going to be number one for everybody.
What's got me most irritated? I want to go... offense, because it just wasn't consistent. Even though they put up,
it hasn't been consistent
points,
all year.
It was inflated numbers. Zach Ertz has been bothering me a lot this season. He scored his first touchdown last week, and then today he fumbles. There was also the one play in the first half where he was contacted. Remember, they missed the call. It was in the middle of the field around the 50-yard line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where the guy grabbed his hand. But then he ended up having two...
He still should have caught it. It was a penalty, and he should have caught it.
And that was a 3rd and 10 where he drops it. And if he makes the catch, it's first down. And that was, I think, the drive you were talking about. The drive stalls.
Yep.
Then they end up getting the ball back. That's when they did the fake field goal. But before that, if he makes that catch, the drive continues. And then you have a chance of cutting down the lead before halftime. But Zach Ertz drops it again. He's been shaky this season.
Yeah. He hasn't been great. Dallas Goedert, I expected to see more of. But that play, you're right.
He's got to catch it. I know he was contacted illegally. He's got to catch that ball.
And that was Ertz they went to on the 4th and 2 as well.
Yep.
Tough play. Could have been caught. But those were two momentum-shifting plays in the game. Let's go to the phone lines and get it kicked off, because I'm sure plenty of people out there have a lot to get off their chest. Eric in Jersey has first honors. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for checking in. What's on your mind?
All right. So we all know the biggest thing wrong with Eagles is the secondary.
Absolutely.
So here's what I'd like to do. Both Patrick Peterson and Jalen Ramsey want to be traded and are out there on the trading block. Specifically, I'd like to go with Jacksonville. How about this? We give Jacksonville Carson Wentz, and our.
I hung up.
Andrew was not having that.
I hung up.
Did you spell that one out early?
No, but as soon as you say, let's trade Carson Wentz, you don't have the right to call. First of all, Jalen Ramsey's not getting traded because the owner doesn't want him to be traded.
Yeah, he seems pretty dug in.
Now, if you offer your franchise quarterback, maybe they make that
sure,
trade.
But then you're back at square one all over again.
You're idiotic, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what else the Eagles were going to get.
They should get Gardner Minshew.
He's probably going to ask for Foles back.
Kidding you. Let's go to Mick. Actually, Mick, hang on 1 second. Doug Peterson is coming to the podium now. Let's send it to U.S. Bank Stadium and hear from the head coach of your Philadelphia Eagles. Here is Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah, disappointed, you know, that we didn't do a better job there. Disappointed in a lot of things, but we got to look at this tape. We got to be critical of each other, critical of myself, and we got to fix what's wrong.
Was there something coverage on the mound?
Yeah, until I really look at the tape, it's hard to say at this point. I got to talk to Jim and see what we were, you know, coverage-wise, what we were in, and if there was a breakdown. But until I look at the tape, I really can't answer that.
Something to be taken from the fact you guys were down 24-3 and kept fighting and, you know, the team never gave up.
Yeah, no, that's it's a credit to those guys in the locker room, you know, but flip side of that, we can't be down 24-3. We got to start the game a little faster. We got to be better. We were a little sloppy, had some mistakes early that kept some drives going offensively. And just got to, you know, as a staff and really as players, we got to evaluate it and get it corrected.
What's your concern with the secondary right now?
Well, one, you know, there's some injury, you know, but, you know, again, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. The guys have to play, you know, and, you know, we gotta look at the tape. We gotta be critical of ourselves as coaches first, and then make the corrections during the week with the players.
The fake field goal call had been a bad moment. What's the thought process?
Yeah, we had the look we wanted. Try to take advantage of it, get a little bit closer, an opportunity to maybe shoot it in the end zone after that. Made a great play.
So the idea on that is to complete the pass?
That would have been the idea, yes. Complete the pass.
And then get out. Oh, you're not going to time out. So.
Right, we were going to get out of bounds. The play was designed to hit Dallas and get out of bounds. We're in the short side of the field.
Minnesota ran a lot of gadgets today, a lot of reverses. Did they take you by surprise at all?
No, I mean, that's kind of who they are. We understand their personnel, you know, I thought, kind of looking back now, just, you know, they had a good game plan, you know, kind of misdirection, utilizing their receivers that way. Yeah, we've got to, you know, we've got to be ready for all that.
Was Rasul supposed to have safety help on either one of those?
Yeah, you know, just commented on that until we look at the tape. It's hard to answer.
So, if you look back at this game, it kind of feels like the Saints game last year.
Yeah, I think there's some similarities. I think we can draw from, you know, some conclusions from that, but, you know, different season, different team. You know, we still got a lot of season ahead of us, 10 games, and you know, it's where we are right now. We got to get guys healthy, as we know, got to get everybody kind of, you know, focused in on, you know, winning the next game, winning, going 1-0, you know, I think that's something that our team does best is rallying around each other and picking each other up and moving forward.
I'm a loss like this that doesn't look good. What do you say to your players after a loss?
We all have to. You know, take accountability, myself included. You know, we're all in this together, and it's an ownership, and you know, it starts with me, and I gotta look at myself in the mirror, and am I doing everything I can to help this football team win through, you know, decisions during the game or during the week or how we practice or whatever it might be, but we all have to do that, and you know, hold each other accountable and move forward.
With the first quarter, it just seems like, except for last week, it's been just a
huge barrier to every game you play. Do you have any insight into that? Why that is?
I don't have a crystal ball, if that's what you're asking. But we've definitely got to do a better job there. Got to evaluate it. And, it just comes down to just understanding we have to start the game better. We'll take a look at that this week.
Obviously, Deshaun has a big role on this team. He's not out there. Are you finding it a hard time to chunk with his wide receiver?
We had some opportunity today to get down the field. The ball was we stretched the field a little bit a few times. So, we get creative with it, with moving some guys around. Obviously, Deshaun helps that when he's out there. So, that's something that we got to continue to, work with and work through and find ways to be creative that way.
Miles Sanders was very effective in the passing game. Talk about splitting him out and getting the matchups with him.
Yeah, he's been doing really well in the passing game. He's been making some plays down the field. The touchdown catch was big. He just seems like each week there's a chunk play with him, in the passing game. So something we'll keep looking at.
You spoke about the start of the game on the first drive. It was three consecutive runs. It seems uncharacteristic.
First play of the game was actually a down the field pass. It's a shot play, but based on coverage, we killed the play, which is what we're supposed to do. And then on the third down play, we had a mental assignment up front on a third and short, and kept us off the field.
I know it's just concentration or whatever you want to call it, execution. You got to keep the guys off the field who are killing you like that. Yeah.
I guess, but you only have 46 guys. I don't know who else is going to play if I start kicking guys off the field. We got to look at it, obviously, and we got to coach it up, and we got to show them and teach them, and the guys have to understand that this is something that is being called more and more. You're right. We have to eliminate those penalties, those mistakes. Those are hard to overcome. Whether it's on offense or defense. But we'll take a look at them and, keep coaching our guys.
How did Carson play today?
I thought he did some really good things. We gave him, again, each week like we do with run pass or pass run checks. He did a nice job there in the game. Obviously the end of the game was just something we're trying to get chunk plays and that's going to happen from time to time. But, I thought overall he played tough. Again, in the pocket, made some tough throws down the field. I thought he played good. Okay.
There you have it. There's head coach Doug Peterson. Obviously, seems like a little bit of a deflated man after that game today out in Minneapolis. His explanation for the field goal attempt, it's okay to just admit you're wrong every once in a while.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. So, whatever. I don't like being, the goal there was to, with no timeouts and our special teams unit on the field, to get the ball to so-and-so so he can run out of bounds, and then we get the first down, and then we can take shots with no timeouts left heading into the, just stop. Just take the points. You're on the road. Just take the points. Whatever. Secondary still sucks.
Yep.
You're listening to the 975 Fanatic postgame show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I am Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 4:42.
This is the Fanatic postgame show, presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Parks Casino and Sportsbook app is live in Pennsylvania. You can now bet point spreads, money lines, parlays, props, and more on every game this football season. Plus, Parks Casino and Sportsbook has special sports betting promos running every day. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Yes, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code SPORTS to get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Risk-free bet refunded on losses of free bet. Must be present in Pennsylvania. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What a night. Parks Casino. It's a whole new ballgame at Pennsylvania's number one casino. Liberty Bell Gastro Pub and the Beer Garden are now open every day at noon. Enjoy Liberty Bell Gastro Pub's farm-to-fork comfort food. Gourmet burgers, handcrafted cocktails, and 24 rotating craft beers, pub food favorites while watching every game at the all-season Beer Garden. Get ready. Our $10 million sports book for all your hot sports betting action. Business lunches, happy hour, your game day hotspot. It's all here for you and your friends. Parks Casino. Winning never tasted so good. Street Road 805-95 at the BHR Pike. Must be 21 game. We're on the call 100-GAMBLE.
I'm on the verge of a great discovery and... Aha! A 25% off coupon in the JCPenney app.
Oh, I love it when I find those.
Find grand old savings this Columbus Day. Deck the whole family in select denim styles up to 50% off. Plus, get an extra 25% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Find it in the app wallet. Or get a 2.5-liter Cook's air fryer for $24.99 after $20 mail-in rebate. JCPenney. Offers valid 10-10 to 10-14. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Conditions and exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Now that you can get your favorite Chili's 3-for-$10 meals delivered, anywhere can be your own personal Chili's. So?
Hi, welcome to my house.
Welcome to the meat lovers section of my in-laws vegan barbecue.
Burgers, finally.
Welcome to my therapist's office, where it's okay to eat your feelings and quesadillas.
Welcome to Chili's Delivery. Order online at chilis.com/delivery and get all your favorite 3-for-$10 meals, like Cajun chicken pasta, delivered right to you wherever you are. At participating restaurants only. 3-for-$10 not available via third-party platforms. Delivery fee supply.
Hey, Bob Cooney here, and you've heard me say FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a $500 risk-free bet to new users. And while that risk-free bet is amazing, well, it's only the beginning. That's because FanDuel Sportsbook has tons of promos happening all the time. You can find odd boosts, bet insurance, special bonuses, and more. Plus, their new cash-out feature makes it easy to take your winnings early. There are tons of sports to choose from, and FanDuel offers some of the most competitive lines around. Well, this weekend, I'm taking a look at Seattle at Cleveland. Keep a good eye on that line. And don't forget, you can place a $500 risk-free bet on Sunday's game when you use my promo code Bob. That's code Bob. Signing up is simple and easy, so download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to bet from anywhere in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Sign up with promo code Bob and make your first bet. If you lose, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund inside credit of up to $500.
Must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Refund issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Terms apply.
Well, it's that time of year again to consider replacing your old drafty windows and doors before another cold winter season rolls in. So, delay no further. Call my good friends at Guided Door and Window. You're going to feel at ease with the no obligation, no pressure approach of the free in-home consultation with one of Guided's knowledgeable reps. They'll work to assess your needs and provide quality window and door options at an affordable price. And if you decided Guided is the right company for you, you'll be able to start enjoying all the benefits of their expertly installed, highly energy efficient windows and doors without putting any money down. And you'll get the luxury of paying off your project interest-free for up to 36 months. Not to mention, you'll receive 20% instant savings off all windows and doors. So, that's 20% off on windows and doors, $0 down, and 0% interest payments for up to 3 full years. But you must act now. This offer is for a limited time, and restrictions apply. For full details, call Guida. Schedule a free no-obligation in-home estimate. The number, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or online at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
Orangutans. They're beautiful, playful, and majestic. And disappearing. Every day, as many as 20 orangutans vanish. They starve to death when their homes are destroyed or are killed when they stray into villages in search of food. International Animal Rescue is fighting for the survival of the critically endangered orangutan. But we can't do it without you. Please visit internationalanimalrescue.org and help us save orangutans before it's too late. That's internationalanimalrescue.org.
When William Hill started his own sportsbook in 1934, he didn't just use any name. He used his own. He wanted people to know that behind every bet, there was a name you could count on. And 85 years later, when you're looking to bet during live games with InPlay, bet with the trusted name in sports betting. William Hill, America's number one sportsbook. Simply download the app or visit WilliamHill.com and use the promo code INPLAY for a special offer when you sign up.
21 plus only. Must be physically present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your comments, your opinions in a city that lives and breathes sports. Your voice matters because you care. Get on the line now at 610-632-0975. Presented by Concordville Nissan. Because Concordville cares. Online at ConcordvilleCares.com.
Ryan Westbrook plays on one station in Philly, 97.5, The Fanatic. Now back to the Fanatic Postgame Show, presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets on 97.5 The Fanatic.
That's right. You're listening to the Fanatic Postgame Show presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Now, Andrew, you said you have a little bit of a stat for me here, and then we're going to go right to the phones. What is the stat?
Well, we talked about it before, Doug Peterson, and it's the lack of offense early in the game. And last year, they were, what, the league worst?
I'm getting a sense I'm not going to like this
stat.
No,
you're not. Last year, they were league worst in terms of average points per first quarter last season. And he was asked about it again during the postgame today, his interview.
Frank Reich.
They said, hey, Doug, what are you going to do? You know, offense start off slow again. Oh, well, we got to do a better job. We'll start looking into it. It's like, okay, dude, you've been looking into it every single week so far this season. Now, through six games, they have scored 24 points in total in the first quarter. But I'm going to take that Jets game out of it because the New York Jets don't even belong in the NFL. So the other five games, they scored a total of 14 points in the first quarter. That's under 3 points per first quarter this season. They're averaging 2.8 points per first quarter so far this year. 2.8 points per first quarter this season if you take out that Jets game.
That's pretty sweet.
So 14 points in five games.
Pretty sweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why you're 3-3 right now. That's why you're 1-3 in divisional game, NFC games, 2-3 against conference opponents.
Yeah. Not good. And, you know, next week you're going to have to go into Dallas and win. The Jets just went up 7-0 on Dallas, but we'll get to that game throughout the course of the week. But let's go out to Harrisburg and get to Mick. What's up, Mick?
All right, guys. If we're holding people responsible for this game, I don't see how you start with anybody other than Doug.
That's fair. I think he had a bad game today.
I mean, not just today, though. The lack of preparation by this team all season with the first quarters, it's frustrating to watch. It's got to be, you know, embarrassing for them.
And it was all last year, too, Mick. That's the problem. This is the second year in a row where we're talking about the first quarter not having any points.
Exactly.
None.
Exactly. And you know what, though? I think that as Eagles fans, we are making a little bit of a misconception here because it's not just offense. You know, Doug is the head coach of the entire team. The fact that the defense is getting lit up like this also has to fall on Doug's shoulders as well. We can't just, you know, point the finger at Schwartz. You know, Doug is he's the head coach of the Eagles.
He's not handling the defense. It's a Jim Schwartz show, and it's also Howie Roseman, and maybe Doug Peterson gets some of the blame in terms of getting players and who they evaluate in the draft and free agents and all that kind of stuff. But in game, that's all Jim Schwartz. And I would say preparation as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you a quick question. And I'm gonna let you guys go because I kind of want to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard Zach Ertz's name come up in a lot of high profile trades from Ramsey to Clowney. I believe a little bit even for Cliff Harris. Zach Ertz is a tight end that, yes, he catches a lot of passes and he gets yards from it. But he goes down whenever anybody, you know, breathes on him.
And he played soft today.
Yeah, and he's barely above a mediocre run blocker. So if you're a GM in the league, who are you? What star are you really going to give up for a tight end like that? And I'm going to let you guys go. I want to tell you what you have to say. All
yeah,
right,
thanks, Mick. I think it would depend on the situationalism of the team and, you know, how close they are to winning. If a tight end put them over the edge, yada, yada, yada. If you had a position of strength to trade away from.
He's had an incredible career. He has had a good career.
Yeah.
And TV's but he's like that.
But when things go bad, for whatever reason, Zach Ertz is incredibly frustrating. It was a really weird called game today because I thought the tight ends should have been involved a little bit earlier on, and you barely saw them until what felt like almost the third quarter. Let's go out to Levittown and talk to DJ. What's up, DJ?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty crappy.
Yeah, I hear you. You guys finally said it, which nobody else said. You guys finally said it while I was waiting on hold. When's Peterson going to start getting a pass for running the Super Bowl here? You know, he made some.
Yeah, you know, you can look at Howie and Doug. I think the honeymoon's over for both.
Yeah, Howie also.
I thought Doug had a weird game today.
And I think we got rid of the wrong guy. We should have. I know you can't fire Peterson after he won the Super Bowl, but we should have kept Frank Reich. Frank Reich, to me, was a guy that won you the Super Bowl.
This is all Josh McDaniels and the Patriots' fault.
I know, but
if they don't bail,
we should have kept that guy. This guy should be accountable for the Eagles getting off to these slow starts, except for the Jets, who then the Shammy Redskins could have beaten us. Yeah.
Well, DJ, it's part of the downside of winning is usually your staff is going to get picked
right.
picked
well,
apart.
This guy has to be accountable eventually.
Oh yeah, I mean, eventually, and I think
know,
that time
Charlie
is.
Emmanuel got fired from the Phillies eventually.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people have to start looking at what he's doing.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. You're right, DJ.
I think people are.
I think now is the time. I think to DJ's point, like I think Howie and Doug's post Super Bowl honeymoons are over.
Yeah, and it started a little bit last year. Remember the Carson Wentz, the read options after he was in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was last year when he also had a broken back, and that was like, dude, are you serious?
Yeah.
Now this year, everybody's healthy. Well, at the beginning of the year, everybody's healthy. You're thinking, okay, Doug Peterson's going to go back to his 2017 coaching form, and he just hasn't.
I think that you're insane if you deny the impact that John DeFilippo and Frank Reich had.
No, I'm not denying it.
There's some people out there, I think that's in the minority, but I think it's very fair to say this team misses Frank Reich and John DeFilippo when it comes to not only first quarter offense, just kind of creativeness. You know, Carson was at his best then. The receivers were out there. Everything worked a little bit better. And the other thing we have to address, this offensive line has been fill in the blanks, ..
mediocre.
Yeah, that's what comes to my mind, too. Mediocre
Jamie,
at best. Inconsistent.
Jamie, 5 minutes into the postgame show last week after the Eagles won big against the Jets, the words came out of my mouth. The offensive line did not play well.
No, they haven't played well.
And I get on Twitter, dude, you're a wet blanket. They won. They beat the team they're supposed to beat. And I said, okay.
Oh, they played like crap versus the Jets.
Okay, their offensive line can play bad against the Jets and still win, but let's see it against other teams like Minnesota. And what happened? They got to Carson Wentz, and even if they weren't sacking him every single play, like it seemed like the Jets were, he was under pressure and didn't have a lot of time to make some throws.
Isaac Seumalo might be bad.
Oh, he's terrible.
Jason Peters might have been a mistake to bring him back. I love JP, the bodyguard, as much as any Eagles fan out there. It might have been a mistake to bring him back because that's not fair for Andre Dillard just to have to get yanked up and down, you know, throughout the course of a game.
He's Vitae now.
Yeah, basically. And that wasn't fair to Vitae when it was happening.
No.
But Jason Peters, I mean, this is the norm with him. Coming up, we got a huge segment. Tim will lead us off. We'll get to Chris, Andy, Donald, all you guys can vent. It's a frustrating one as the Eagles move to, what's that, 3-3 on the year?
3-3.
Mediocre. You are what your record says you are, and the record says you're mediocre. There's a lot of things to be concerned about with this team. We'll talk about them next in the 5 o'clock hour. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 4:55. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell any active sports bets. PropSwap offers value for sellers and value for buyers. And you don't have to wait 5 months on a futures wager. You can release your money now. There's a buyer waiting with PropSwap. You get real control over your own money. It's a futures wagering advantage. If you were late to place your bet and now believe in the team, you still got time. Go to PropSwap.com. Even during the game, there might be a ticket for sale. PropSwap is a real edge on sports wagering and a real value to sports bettors. At PropSwap, there are no rules, only opportunities. Did you bet a long shot at the sports book and have buyer's remorse? Do you want a way out of a long futures bet? Well, here's your second chance. Sell it on PropSwap. Have your bets got a little overextended? Sell those wagers on PropSwap and get cash right away. You can change your destiny and course in seconds. You are no longer locked in. PropSwap is ready and waiting. That's PropSwap.com.
To the Fanatic Postgame Show, presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets on 97.5 The Fanatic.
That's right. Welcome back into the Fanatic Postgame Show. Andrew Salchunas, Jamie Lynch in with you. And it is presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Let's get right back to the phone lines today because people are fired up and rightfully so. Tim in Rochester gets us kicked off. Tim, what's going on?
How you guys doing? Secondary, Darby.
I'm doing Jones. Better than our secondary.
Yeah, I've seen. Darby Jones. I'm saying Malcolm, he's slow now.
Yeah, Malcolm, that's one that, frankly, you know, you have to kind of see coming. The guy's entering his 11th or 12th year in the league, and he plays 99.5% of snaps. Eventually, Father Time was going to catch up with him, and I think Malcolm is having that step-back year, unfortunately. But it's hard for me to really focus on Malcolm when the other guys are just so much worse. Malcolm's not good, though. You're right.
Yeah, it's like every time they get a bomb shot on them, you don't see him or McLeod. Ain't nowhere to be seen.
Well, here's the one thing about Malcolm. I think they had him up in the box a lot today.
They did.
They had him shadowing Dalvin Cook.
Because the linebackers stink, and Dalvin Cook is a mismatch against our linebackers.
So, Tim, the way I watched the game today, maybe you saw it differently. I saw a lot of single high safety out there with just McLeod. So if you want to blame anybody, it was McLeod who wasn't giving any help in the secondary. Malcolm Jenkins was playing up in the box a lot today.
Yeah, I just hope just call Cincinnati, get a corner, call Miami. You don't understand Ramsey.
Yeah.
You're not going to get him.
Howie most likely will be on the phones tonight and tomorrow. I would put, even with Jalen Mills coming back. And Tim, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for checking in. I don't think there's any way he cannot be working the phones. The trade deadline is another 2 weeks. I believe it's the last Wednesday of the month. Is part of you nervous that they're going to go, well, we got Cravion and Vontae and Jalen and Darby all coming back. We don't need to make a move.
Yes, part of me is concerned about that. However, if that's the case, then you have to improve somewhere else. Like, you have to improve
your
wide receivers.
Yeah, plenty of holes.
I thought DeSean Jackson would be back this week. Obviously, he wasn't. He wasn't back in today. If you're not going to improve with cornerback play, you're going to have to find somebody. Howie Roseman will make a trade. But
yeah.
I know what you're saying. All right, LeBlanc's coming back.
I mean, there are four guys returning from injury here, hopefully fairly soon.
Right, but let me also mention this.
But I don't know how much time you can waste.
Exactly. Now let me mention this. I know this is the Eagles postgame show, but what did the Phillies just do? Oh, well, Tommy Hunter's coming back.
Yeah.
Dominguez is coming back.
It's funny.
David Robinson has come back. Patney Schick's coming back. Two of those guys didn't come back. Two guys did come back, and they were gone within a week.
And two died. You might never see them again.
So you could say, okay, Mills is coming
back.
It's
funny, so many people have been comparing the Eagles secondary to the Phillies rotation on Twitter, and it's very accurate. I mean, I'm trying to find like holes in it. I'm like, no. Let's go to Chris in Allentown. Chris, what's going on?
Guys, this one stings, dude. I really wanted this one to be at least a close matchup coming into this one because it's Dallas week. I want to be pumped up. I want to be fired up. And I am just so disheartened. This Doug does not get a pass from me. I am done with these slow starts. I am sick and tired of Grow and Schwartz. They can both stay in Minnesota. Maybe talk to Zimmer. Schwartz might be a defensive coordinator lesson. But I don't like Schwartz. I've been calling for Schwartz's head since the Super Bowl when we give up 520 yards to Tom Brady. And I don't want to get into that. I can take over your show today, guys. I have so much stuff I can say right now. This is not 3-3 is not where we should be at this point of the season. But you look at the schedule. We should be 5-1. We should have lost that game in Green Bay. We should have taken this Minnesota game. I mean, the Giants, they let them take 28 points last week. You're telling our defense is not better than the Giants. And I mean, Sidney Jones gets paraded out in that field again. I'm having an aneurysm. I mean, a straight up aneurysm. We need to trade Sidney Jones, Darby, to Denver, a 1-3 to Denver for Chris Harrison and Emmanuel Sanders so we can get some kind of balance on offense because we're sitting here waiting for DeSean Jackson to come back. This guy has been injury prone for years. I love the guy. I'm just happy he's on our team, but he is injured every freaking season.
Yeah, he is.
And this is what we got. This is on Howie Roseman, too, as you guys said before early in the show, and also, too, real quick on earlier in the show, the first guy who called in, he needs to shut his pie hole. He needs to go reevaluate himself. He's a Dallas fan, dude, if you want to trade Carson Wentz, dude.
Chris, I agreed with pretty much everything you said. I don't know if Denver would actually do that deal, but if you were able to pry Emmanuel Sanders away right now, he's a guy that would, to me, make a huge impact on this team. I'm terrified of DeSean Jackson. Look, he's at the point now where he probably should have had the surgery. And if he's not back this next week, I'm at the point where I'm afraid I don't know if I can count on him for the remainder of the year.
He's probably going to miss the entire season.
There's a real chance of it.
I from day one when he got hurt, they said it was a lower abdomen. That's a sports hernia.
It's a sports hernia, yeah.
Sports hernia. Get the surgery 4 to 6 weeks. We can at least know that we can count on you coming back for the last half of the season so we can move forward and at least look forward to the playoffs.
Yeah. I hear you, Chris.
And Nelson Agholor.
No, I was just going to say, great passion, man. And Nelson Agholor, I think you were about to continue on saying he sucks.
Yes, I think that's what he was going to say.
Yes. Dude, I mean, he's a bust. We have to call it what it is. Carson doesn't have confidence in him hardly at all anymore. Any contact downfield at all. And look, I thought that one on the sideline was 100% a defensive pass interference call. The guy extended his whole arm into his back. But the point is, Nelson can't fight through anything.
Well, there was one, and I was in the studio with Tyler Zulu, who's producing the show today during the green zone. I was in there with Tyler, and there was a play. I don't know if it was the third or the fourth quarter, but Wentz took the shot downfield to Nelson Aguilar, who was in the end zone, and it looked like he just gave up on the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he gave up on it. And I'm like...
Oh, he did.
I'm like, dude...
He can't track balls. That's part of his problem.
So I said to Tyler, I was like, wait a minute. Was he afraid of the field goal post? Like, is that what it was? Like, yeah, he was in the vicinity
he
of...
He can't track footballs. Like, the only time he will make a breaking play or a big play is when he gets the ball shallow and is able to use his elusiveness one-on-one. If there's ever a ball downfield, he cannot come up with it because he sucks at tracking the ball in the air.
Yeah.
Today was a perfect example of it. Was it slightly overthrown? Yeah, it was. If the wide receiver took the right angle and actually tracked the ball, could it have changed to him being there? Absolutely.
Like what you saw Stephon Diggs do today.
He's not good. He's a bust. If you want to talk about Howie Roseman, have you seen the wide receivers he's drafted since he's been here?
Oh, yeah. Josh Huff was one of them.
Marvin McNutt.
Yeah.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. This team is in desperate need of wide receivers. The guy can't even get on the field.
Which is a disaster in itself.
Mac Hollins. He ain't it.
I'm confused.
The only two guys you have that are any good are Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, and neither of them were drafted here. Are we sensing a theme? Skill positions, cornerback and wide receiver. Howie Roseman is ass at drafting.
Whiteside not getting snaps is kind of confusing to me. I know he dropped that big pass.
I know he's Alshon 2.0 and they run the same type of routes. And blah, blah, blah. When you're in the red zone, this kid should be in there.
Yeah, and if Aguilar's as bad as he has been this year, why don't you give your second round draft? Your second round draft?
Yes.
A shot.
Mac Hollins and Nelson Aguilar bring nothing to this team. Terrible. Nothing. Donald and Chester, what's up, Donald?
Man, I don't. You know what? I don't know where to start.
But I know.
But you struck it. You struck it as far as the wide receiver, and I don't know. It's really interesting why we didn't draft either Metcalf.
Yeah, he looks like a player. He really does.
Or Marquise Brown that plays for Baltimore.
Yep, he's having a nice start too.
Because the thing is that Coach Peterson has the right approach about having somebody stretch the field because in 17, okay, Torrey Smith played the whole season. So just by him being able to stretch the field, not catch all these balls, but just stretch the field opened up so much
Carson
before Carson went down and also helped Nick later on in the season. We didn't have that last year. We don't have it now.
No, it's a huge thing they're missing. And for whatever reason, two games in a row, Donald, their deep threat gets hurt within the first two games of the year.
But my issue is that if you know that's a part of what you do,
you should be drafting these guys.
Why don't you have depth at that? Why don't you have depth? Because the one caller was right. I love D-Jax too. I love him. But he's never been helped. D-Jax is the only reason, would be the only success that Aguilar would have, you know?
Yeah.
We got what we got out of Goddard because I believe Goddard is not healthy. I believe he's not healthy. Ertz and Goddard, they need DeSean, you know, and you're right about Jeffrey. Alshon is on the downside. But I just don't understand. I'm not saying anything about the secondary. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah,
about
that's just obvious at this point.
Because if you can't play man coverage, you can't play zone.
Absolutely. And Donald, thanks for the call, buddy. We're up against it. It is concerning that they can't draft wide receivers, you know, because they just don't have anybody stepping up. They can't draft cornerbacks and wide receivers. That much is becoming clear. And it's going to take something to prove otherwise. And when you got the trade deadline 2 weeks away, let's hope the Jets can beat the Cowboys today. I mean, it's like the season's not over. You still very much are in this. So, Howie Roseman, got to do something.
I got
to do something.
I got a tweet coming up. from Vikings Twitter.
Oh, boy.
They're taking exception to what Zach Brown said before the game. Yeah,
apparently he fired that locker room up, too.
Yep.
It made its way to the Vikings locker room. Thank you, Zach Brown, for the bulletin board material. You've been here, what, six games, and you're giving them bulletin board material? That's good on you. You're listening to the 97.5 Fanatic postgame show. He's Andrew Stalchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 5:12.
To the Fanatic postgame show presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into the Fanatic postgame show. I'm Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Stalchunas. We were just talking about how frustrating that was during the break today. And you had a little bit of an old man yells at cloud moment that...
Is it, though?
I kind of agree with you.
Kind of. You should, 100%.
But this is only something you talk about in a loss.
Yes, you're right. So Andrew Sendejo intercepts a pass. Now, let's start off by saying this.
It hits Stephon Diggs in the helmet.
Right
bounces
in the
up.
Face.
I went, all right, here's our chance. We just got gifted a little freebie.
Yes, but Sendejo intercepts it, runs it about 5 to 10 yards. And then after he gets tackled... He and about 5 or 6 other members of the Eagles defense all run about 50 yards to the end zone and start flexing toward the Minnesota Vikings fans. Now, this was after they gave up 24 points because this was still in the first half.
Yeah.
You had the audacity to intercept the pass and then run 50 yards after being tackled and flexing at the Minnesota Vikings fans when you gave up 24 points in the first half.
Yeah, now part of me is like, all right, well, you know, these turnovers are rare. Go celebrate. You did your job. But the majority of me is with you where it's like, dude, you know, you couldn't wait to go flex on them?
You were embarrassed first half. And I had a lot of people agree with me on Twitter, but one guy's like, dude, enjoy the interception. I did enjoy the interception, but I wasn't standing up flexing like, yeah, go Birds. Yeah. Like, no, I was like, all right, here we go.
All right, good. Let's make something of this.
All right, let's narrow down the lead a little bit.
So official ruling is, yes, it's a little bit of an old man yelling at clouds, but no, I think it's okay because it's all part of a frustrating loss. You said you had a tweet for us before the break there, before we go back to the phone lines, from a Minnesota Vikings. What is this? One of their...
No, it's their official account. It's the Vikings Twitter account.
Yeah, I'm probably going to block that
because,
account.
Because Zach Brown gave them bulletin board material.
Yeah, that was great.
Material.
Thank you, Zach.
They put out the following, in quotes, the weakest link, because Zach Brown called Kirk Cousins the weakest link of the
They just
Minnesota
put out a tweet
Vikings.
That said the weakest link.
But then they also have a picture of Kirk Cousins and his yardage of 333 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, and a quarterback rating of 138.4.
Now, Kirk Cousins is fairly mediocre as a quarterback. I tend to think he sucks, but whatever. He owns the Eagles for some weird reason, and... You know, I think part of it is just he today was a different story. Normally he likes doing the underneath stuff and death by paper cuts type of thing. But today the secondary was so bad, Kirk Cousins got to air it out. And that's, you know, cool. Let's go to Andy in Denver. What's up, Andy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for checking in, man. You could be outdoors in Colorado right now. Instead,
I'm actually standing on the first hole of the golf course about to hit my second shot with a great drive.
Oh, nice.
So I just want to talk, all right, the secondary, Sidney Jones was also mugging after some play that he got penalized
on.
Yeah,
he's been terrible. But,
yeah, he did the Jalen Mills finger wag, and he was called for pass interference on that play.
Right. Not only that, and then, so this is also Doug Peterson's fault. I mean, that fake field goal, what's the best case scenario? You have to run up and spike it. They were 30 yards from the end zone. Like, just kick a field goal. That was such a bad call, and we can't score points in the first quarter. This is a Doug Peterson problem and a secondary problem, primarily. Howie needs to be on the phone with John Elway right now and get Chris Harris, get me Patrick Peterson, get me somebody. You need to fill that spot. It's like a gaping hole. And other teams, even with decent players, are just killing us.
Yeah.
I mean, Amari Cooper is going to roast us next week if we can't find a way to figure this out.
Yeah, he had over 200 yards receiving last year.
Yeah, he killed you last year, and I don't know who's going to stop it this year.
Yeah, I mean, and look at who was drafted after Sidney Jones. Alvin Kamara.
I know.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
I know.
Like, we're looking at amazing players. I mean, Howie's great. We all love Howie, but you're right. He might not be great at drafting.
He had some skeptical decisions this offseason. I think it's more than fair to kind of question the job Howie did this offseason now that we're 6 games into it. I mean, Jason Peters.
I had to suffer a money line loss this week.
Yeah, Jason Peters, I mean, stepping out every single game is, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's certainly not great.
Well, we saw it affect Halepulavati Vaitai all last season.
Yeah.
That he had to go into games wondering if he was going to get in or not, and even though it was like a surefire thing that he was going to, it's not the same. You don't warm up the same way as a starter as if you were a backup guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now Andre Dillard, that's 2 weeks, two out of the last 3 weeks because he did it against the Packers game. He's to come in.
Andy, hit him straight out there, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, see you. Thanks for checking in. Let's go to our friend Victoria over in Collingswood. Victoria, I know you're nice and calm and rational after this loss.
Hey, guys. Well, first off, I'm shockingly calm because I feel like it hasn't hit me yet. So
so the anger will come tomorrow.
Tomorrow, for sure.
Yeah, as soon as you wake up.
Yeah. So first off, I want to say you two are my favorite radio duo, and I tell you guys that all the time. So keep it up. We need more of you guys.
Thank you, Victoria. You're too kind.
Thank you very much.
So, also, I had to make a list because my thoughts are all over the place. There's so much wrong with this team right now. Secondary is not on my list just because it's a given at this point, and you guys have kind of touched on things I wanted to say, comparing them to the Phillies pitching, for sure.
Yeah, I know, it's
like,
a scary.
We're going to beg for it and hope for it, and like right up to the deadline, we're not going to get it. And then we're going to blame the whole season on the secondary.
Yep. So, pretty
number
much.
Number one on the list, play call. Elliot, why is he throwing to our offense when they can't even catch the ball from Carson Wentz? Stupid.
It's a fair point. And also in that situation with no timeouts, if you want to go for it, how about just put, you know, actually a professional quarterback and some wide receivers out there?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a quarterback who is actually last on my list because if I hear anyone talking about Carson Wentz right now, it's a no-go. Thanks for hanging up on that guy, Andrew.
Andrew was there for you, Victoria.
Yeah, that's why I love you guys. Number two, no fire. I'm looking at Aguilar, Jeffrey, and Ertz. I think it was, Andrew talked about the second long throw to Aguilar. He didn't extend his arm.
Yeah, no.
Like, God forbid he
Todd Pinkston alligator armed it, but it was the field goal post. Like, it wasn't even a defender that he got afraid of.
It's because he has no idea where the ball is. He can't track it. He's inefficient.
Him and Matt Collins.
I know they like his speed as the replacement deep threat when Deshaun's not in, but he literally can't do it.
He's just disappointing and disappointing. Reach your arms out. Like, we, as fans, we want to see you try.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I felt bad for him a couple weeks ago when everyone was coming at him, and I kind of gave him a second chance.
Uh-huh.
But you're not even trying, dude.
Yeah, and to that same point, Rasul Douglas, and now we're really nitpicking, which I love. Rasul Douglas on the touchdown to Diggs kind of looked like he just kind of threw his hands up and called it at about 6 yards out and was like, I'm not going to catch him. At least make the dive and go for the shoestring tackle.
He said, where's my safety help, and gave up.
Yeah.
There was another play. I got to find it later and put it on Twitter. But the guys, I was like curious, is my TV in slow motion right now? No, they were just running slow.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
why?
The Eagles do just look slow. And Victoria, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. They do, to her point, just kind of look like, outside of Miles Sanders, they just look like a slow team overall.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, it's because you don't have your deep threat. So,
you
have Jordan Howard, who isn't a burner running back, but he is your number one running back right now. You have two tight ends that Carson Wentz went to a lot today with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. Your number one receiver is Alshon Jeffrey, who's running with a bum leg. Nelson Aguilar's not a burner.
Defensively, Rasul Douglas just wasn't there with the frustrating part about Sidney Jones is I do believe he has the speed. He might not have the skills, but he has the speed to catch up with these guys, and he just can't do it. He can't stay healthy, whatever it is. And this is really frustrating. Sidney Jones tells Derek Gunn in the post game that he's 100% back from his hamstring injury. Probably shouldn't have said that one. Well, you played yourself.
If he is 100% back, he just sucks.
You played yourself, Sidney. Bad job by you.
By the way, I want to point this out. I wasn't... When the guy called in earlier about the Carson Wentz thing, I didn't hang up on him because he was critical of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz held on to the ball too long at some point.
Because he said, trade him.
He said, trade Carson Wentz to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And you ain't got no time for that.
That's when I hung up on him.
Yeah. Let's go to Drew in Willingboro. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
You know, another week, here we are, deciding if we have a mediocre football team or not.
Yeah, it's just weird, man.
It is weird.
It's like I don't understand how they didn't see that the D-line was this bad. I mean, I love the Malik Jackson pickup, but it's like this D-line, you know, to the DB's defense, and I'm not getting any slack off of them because they just stink, but they are the backups in there right now. So with the backups being in there, it's like the D-line knows that.
Yeah, but let me also say this. The D-line has their backups in at this point, too, because both Malik Jackson and Tim Jernigan are hurt. So you had Fletcher Cox, who is supposed to be the second-best defensive tackle in the league, so I'm not going to give him any excuses, but he was playing injured earlier. And you got Hassan Ridgeway at this point, and Akeem Spence, who you picked up off the street.
Right, but what about Brandon Graham? I mean, one game last week? He showed up for one
game. I've been open about my opinions about Brandon Graham. I thought they overpaid him. I don't think he deserved that contract.
Yeah, it's just my thing is like, look, come on, man. We came off the last year. We was one game away from going back to the NFC Championship. It's like, how do we get these things right? It's just so weird to me. It's like, I don't understand how you can allow your defensive backfield to even be this bad. You couldn't have went through training camp, the whole training camp, and not knowing that they were this poor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Drew, but everybody down there was saying, oh, Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, they're having the best training camps of anybody out there. And I know. It does seem, to your point, that a lot of the same exact problems from last year have reappeared this year. And, when that happens, it's fair to look at the GM and go, well, what did you do to correct those situations?
Yeah, man, the GM or whoever's evaluating these guys, whether it's the defensive back coaching, Jim I don't know, but they got to get it together, man, because this is ridiculous. And now we got Dallas coming up, and then we got another big game after that.
It's in Buffalo, it's not easy.
Yeah, these DBs, you can't play. They don't even belong in the league, to be honest with you. Like, they're terrible. And then, like I said, this D-line, they got to show up. If the DB's going to be this poor, the D-line has to play better.
Yeah. Well, Drew, all I got for you is Jalen Mills is coming back next week. Thanks for the call, buddy. See ya. I kind of do like Jalen Mills. I've always been a little bit of a fan of his because I do think he's really tough in the red zone. But the first double move that he bites on and they pick up like a 45, 50 yard chunk.
Oh, people are going to want to get
rid of him. It's going to be awesome. Just sit back and watch the theater.
Still better than what you have now.
Absolutely, he is, Andrew. You're right about that. I'm excited for Jalen Mills to return.
Yes.
That should tell you how bad the secondary is. And hopefully Avante Maddox is all right. Ronald Darby, I don't even know if he's a good player or not. So, I don't know about him. And Cravion LeBlanc should be back pretty soon here, too. But something's got to be done, or Dallas is going to have their way with you in the secondary as well. Rodney McLeod, he's been okay.
Yeah, today, bad coverage, though.
Yeah.
Secondary help.
Well, certainly wasn't a good game overall. He's been okay. And Malcolm, I think, is on the downside of his career, unfortunately. And that's just going to be a tough one to watch.
Coming up, I got more stats for you.
Oh, great.
It's time for our friend Brandon Lee Gallant.
Oh, let me guess. They're really going to irk me, aren't they, Andrew?
Yeah. It comes back to Howie.
Oh, good. Are we going to go through all of his wide receivers that he's failed on? Or
no,
all of his cornerbacks that he's
It mentions three receivers.
All right. Marvin McNutt, one of them?
All drafted in this past draft.
Oh, no. Oh, one of them is DK Metcalf, sure.
I'll read them to you.
All right, great. I'm going to be pissed on the other side. Thanks to Andrew. We'll get to all you guys coming up next. You're listening to the 97.5 Fanatic Postgame Show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 5:31. Here's a reminder when placing your futures bets. Always make your bets with PropSwap in mind. We call it the Go for Two. Make your regular bet, then make a duplicate second smaller bet to sell on PropSwap. It's an insurance side bet. Often selling these second bets, return back some of the cost of the original wager you are keeping. And smart bettors can always sell their futures bets when they improve and make an average profit of 5 times their original bet. Go to PropSwap.com and see what real sports bettors can do now. For instance, last football season, a seller listed a Patrick Mahomes MVP ticket at 75-1 odds, and a PropSwap buyer scooped it up and cashed in for over $100,000. Also last year, a PropSwapper sold the New Orleans ticket for $57,000. The buyer got great odds, and the seller made the right decision as New Orleans ultimately lost in the playoffs. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets for every sport. Go to PropSwap.com today.
Now back to the Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented by PropSwap. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into the Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. And let me just say this. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets! Robbie Anderson, what was that, 85 yards, 90 yards? 92 yards, torching the Cowboys. They're down, what, 14-3, is it?
Yes.
Let's go Jets.
You may, let's go Jets. It could also go back to the old term of NFC least.
Yeah, there could be the big game in the division next week. 3-3 teams, or no, they'll be...
If the Cowboys lose, they'd be 3-3.
Okay, so 3-3 first place game on the line next week.
So the Eagles
in the NFC.
Yeah, 3-3 first place game with the New York Giants hiding in the weeds behind them at 2-4.
That's awesome.
The Giants are 2-4. They'll be a game back.
So for as bad as it is, let's have a little perspective here in looking at this. If the Jets are able to pull this off, they're up 14-3.
Getting the ball back.
It would appears to be getting the ball back at the 2-minute warning before the half. It's not over. So everybody, don't go to the bridge yet.
Can I say something real quick?
What?
Because it goes back to the first.
Sure, Andrew, the floor is yours.
The first caller we had today saying
the tune and
trade Carson Wentz, and that just bothers me a lot.
Yeah, you really let that kind of affect you there.
Well, no, it's stupidity, and it shouldn't bother me, but it's stupidity, and I'm going to mention it again. You're stupid for saying it. Dak Prescott, who people like to compare Carson Wentz to, against the New York Jets right now is 9-15 for 94 yards. And that's what it'll probably end up being in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, he's not good. I mean, he's average.
Yeah, but everybody wants to say how Dak's so much better.
What would you give Carson's grade today?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Missed some throws, held on the ball too long points, still threw for over 300 yards, still threw for two touchdowns. That one interception was a desperation throw in the middle of the field. I'll still give him a B+.
Yeah, my gut said
A
B.
Minus.
My gut said B.
Like he played well today against a good Vikings defense.
He was the only one out there really, like, I mean, Miles Sanders helped him out a little bit, you know.
Let's look at it this way.
He doesn't have anybody making plays for
him.
Let's
look at it this way.
And the offensive line is worrying me.
Exactly. Last week, when you had a big lead against the Jets, you end up winning 31-6. Obviously, what are you going to do late? You're going to run the ball a lot. So that's why he didn't throw for even 200 yards last week. In a game where you were down and needed to throw the ball a lot, he ended up throwing for over 300 yards. He ended up throwing for two touchdowns. And he ended up bringing you back into the game, except the defense was that bad. Now, again, those last two possessions before halftime where you didn't get any points out of it, you should have gotten three, but Doug Peterson decided to throw it with Jake Elliott. You didn't get any points those last two possessions before the half. So part of that's on Carson Wentz.
Yeah, absolutely. You said you had a tweet there before the break, before we go back to the phone lines, about the Eagles' lack of ability to draft wide receivers. And I think this is going to irritate not only me, but everybody.
Yeah. Brandon Lee Gowton, Bleeding Green Nation, put out this tweet, and it mentions three guys that were drafted in the second round of the NFL draft. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside being one of them, D.K. Metcalf being another, and Terry McLaurin of the Washington Redskins. D.K. Metcalf today, four receptions for 69 yards in a win against the Seahawks. Terry McLaurin, who beat up on the Eagles in week one, he had four receptions today for 100 yards plus two touchdowns. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside threw six games this entire season, two catches, 14 yards.
When you take somebody in the second round, you expect, look, you don't expect them to be a star, but you expect them to contribute.
You expect production.
And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has shown you nothing.
He has two less catches through six games than Terry McLaurin and D.K. Metcalf both had today.
Yikes, that's really bad. Dan in the Northeast is with us. What's up, Dan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks for checking in, bud.
So, I think this is a grain of salt because I'm not like a Doug hater at all. Like, I wasn't one of those Frank Reich guys, but
yeah.
If you take away the Super Bowl,
I know. Season, are you going to give me his record?
Dude, they're 20 in 40 games.
I know. It's jarring. Bob Cooney hit me with it this week, and I was like, wait, what?
I must have missed a sign. But like,
No. This was actually off air, Dan.
That's not a small sample size. Like, that's alarming. Like,
say it again for the people, just because I want everybody to hear this and process it.
20-20.
Outside of the 2017 season.
Like,
That's... No, it's alarming.
Like, I don't know what to take away from that, because I love Doug. I love how aggressive he is. It's just like... I don't know, man.
Okay, I don't want to defend Doug because I've been very critical of him.
I think Doug is a very good coach.
I've been critical of him today. I was critical of him all last year because of the lack of scoring in the first quarter. But rookie season, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, they end up going 7-9. Right. Did you expect a very good record that rookie season. Last year, he started the year, the first two games, without his franchise quarterback. He had to start with Nick Foles. He had to end the year with Nick Foles, and Carson Wentz was hurt at points during the year. I don't want to stick up for Doug, but at the same time, it's like, okay, just 4 years ago was his first year, plus was Carson Wentz's first year.
All right, well, that's fine, and I don't think it's a true, but it is, when you hear it, that they're 20-20.
Oh, it's alarming.
Yeah, I mean, it tells you, like, you know, maybe we are overvaluing this team. You know, that's my takeaway from it.
Right.
And we're getting older and older and slower, and I don't know where the help's coming from.
Literally, like, you can tell me when you got some corners coming back. All I need to tell that is they can at least start out 20, maybe. Like, he's my only focus right now.
Yeah, they need him back desperately, and thanks for the call, Dan. Let's go to Alex in North Philly before we get out of here tonight. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
We could be better, but we're doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm bad, man. This hurts.
Yeah, that stung today.
Our secondary is, I mean, oh, we got to call Ron Jaworski to get some of them soul guys that got soul, man. These guys don't have any habit. I mean, you getting paid, you making some money. I said, come on, guys, tackle. These guys are waving. Throw me the ball. I'm like 6 yards by myself.
Well, a report just came out from SI. Maybe this will put a smile on your face. The Cardinals are reportedly fielding trade offers from teams interested in Patrick Peterson.
Oh, yeah. That's easy to put a smile in my face. I'm about to give me some coffee. That's good.
He's going to be out there. Chris Harris Jr. is going to be out there. The Jets just scored a touchdown, Alex. So the Cowboys are down 21-3.
Oh, that's a blessing.
Yeah, there you go. So hopefully we put a little bit of a smile on your face.
Yeah, that's good. Guys, I love listening to you guys, man.
Thanks,
Alex. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's 21-3
Jets.
I called it. The line was so weird. I bet the Jets. I felt filthy about it. But they're up on the Cowboys are a very mediocre team, much like the Philadelphia Eagles are, much like the Buffalo Bills are. So as bad as today's loss was, let's not all lose perspective here and freak out. The season is not over. The playoffs are still very, very real. It sucks.